This is Edwin Ross. I have in the studio with me Chinmoy Ghosh. How long have you been in the United States, Mr. Ghosh, Chinmoy Ghosh?
I've been here for the last 9 months.
I see. Now, normally speaking, to the average Westerner, when we think in terms of yoga, I imagine that the average Westerner, I'm sure there are some who are more familiar with it, think of yoga as something a little out of this world, where a man stands on his head with his feet up against the wall, and somehow or other this is supposed to bring him something. What, I don't quite know. Could you elaborate on the physical aspects of yoga, as most people seem to be familiar with it, and the other aspects which I imagine most Americans at any rate are not quite so familiar with?
This is one approach to the spiritual life, and we call it Hatha Yoga. This is physical yoga. This is only one approach to the spiritual life, and this is not the only one. And it is not suitable for every individual.
The physical aspect of it is not suitable to the average individual.
The benefit that you derive from this yoga can be attained by other methods as well. One of these methods is meditation. The traditional yogic postures and breathing exercises attempt to place the body into a state of receptivity in order to bring down peace, light, and certain higher forces from above. But by meditation, we can bring down these higher forces into the body. The practitioners of this yoga, Hatha Yoga, however, know that this is only preliminary to entering into a higher consciousness, and we have a more subtle means to invoke this higher consciousness.
The Hatha Yoga is what I would call physical yoga. I see. But apparently there is more than one path to this goal that you call a higher consciousness. Is that correct?
Yes.
The physical is only one path.
One aspect of the total being.
Mm-hmm.
There are other yogas as well. We call Jnana Yoga the path of the mind, and Bhakti Yoga the path of devotion, and Karma Yoga the path of service. But I was brought up in a spiritual atmosphere where we give importance to all yogas.
I see.
That is to say, it is a path of fulfillment in the full sense of the term, where body, mind, heart, and soul, each will have its own function for the divine manifestation. In our old yogas, we used to pay more attention to one aspect of yoga. But now we have come to conclusion that in order to see the divine in each and everything, we have to have a consciousness that is all pervading.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to attain to that all-pervading consciousness, our body, mind, heart, and soul must aspire simultaneously.
In other words, the manner in which you were brought up encompasses the body, mind, heart, and soul all as one aspect of yoga, whereas I gather that there are some groups that practice let's say the body yoga, another that may practice the mind yoga, and another the heart.
Yes.
In other words, they concentrate on the heart as a separate kind of yoga. I suppose the reason that the body type of yoga has become most familiar in the United States is probably that it requires less effort or less mental effort on the part of the participants or the adherents than the others would. It's something that they can practice that is less alien to them than the mind, heart, and soul yoga. Well, it seems to me that the pace of American life is quite different from Eastern life, from what I understand of Eastern life. I think that the average American is not given to thinking as deeply in spiritual ways, and he finds it difficult. The entire concept, I think, is more difficult to him, whereas something physical he can adapt to more readily than something that is that he would consider sort of a lofty, idealistic sort of concept. Do you have any thoughts on that, Chinmoy? Or do you feel that your familiarity with the Western way of life is not sufficient to be able to have a reaction to this?
My own feeling is the West still feels that body is the only instrument to achieve something. That is to say, whatever you aspire for, it is body that should come forward. With the help of body, the dynamic aspect of the body, we can reach our goal, we can fulfill our mission on earth. But as a matter of fact, if the body is pushed by the mind, heart, and soul from behind, then body becomes the real instrument of God realization or whatever the aim they place before them.
Now, when you say God realization, can you elaborate on this? To me, as a Westerner, I don't know quite how to phrase this. I recognize that it's a religious concept, but when one says something, a phrase like God realization, and I think I've heard other phrases in discussing or talking about this with you before, it's almost as though one had visions.
To me, God realization is not something that we must kill all our emotional feelings. We must pronounce a curse on the world, that this world and God realization cannot go together. Either I have to live an inner life or I have to be fully one with the outer life. But true God realization never obliges an aspirant to leave this world or to live the life of a recluse. God is in everything. He is everywhere. So where should one go to find him out? He being omnipresent, we must try to feel him, realize him, and be one with him in every part of our being and in all our day-to-day movements. That is to say, when you breathe in and you breathe out, it is the God that is within us coming and going out.
Occasionally, I have heard from various pulpits in the West, people speak of recognizing the omnipresence of God in everything. And yet, somehow, I must confess that one gets the feeling that, well, this is said on one side of the pulpit. It's not practiced very much or not realized very much on the other side, not in the West at least, and yet the feeling I get is that in the East, in India, in yoga, there is more a feeling of this realization, or God realization, as Chinmoy puts it, among the actual participants, not just the leaders. In India, what was your function or business or pursuit, Chinmoy?
I stayed in a spiritual center for 20 years, and God gave me the gift to write poems, articles, and I happen to be a good athlete, and these are the secondary or subsidiary parts in my life. But I wanted to be a seeker of the infinite. So right from my childhood, I started meditating and concentrating to realize God, as to say, face to face, to be one with His will at every moment.
You say that right from childhood, wanted to be a seeker of the infinite.
Infinite.
How does a child obtain this kind of ambition? I mean, this seems, I must confess, very remote to a Western way of looking at things.
This is no ambition. It is the inner urge of our psychic being. The psychic being is the representative of the soul. When the psychic being feels that the time is ripe for the aspirant or the human being to be aware of God, then it comes forward, it pushes, and it gives the inner urge to the human being to aspire and to realize the mission of his life, or in other words, to be a conscious instrument of God, to take part in his divine play. We call it Leela, to be a conscious instrument of God in one's life. Everybody is an instrument of God, but one who aspires is the conscious instrument of God. And according to his development and spiritual growth, he tries to manifest in his own being, as well as in the other aspiring souls, the possibilities of full manifestation of God here on earth.
And you have spent most of your life in this spiritual community. Would it be correct to say, by Western standards, then, that I don't know, I sort of hesitate to use the word, this is your profession? Your work.
In a sense, it is.
Profession meaning work.
Yes. In a sense, it is a self-dedicated service.
Mm-hmm.
I have not come to preach, but want to be of some help to the aspirants, to aspiring souls who want to live the inner life, but they do not know how to live that life. So I hope that I would be of some help to those who sincerely want, at the same time are unable to enter into that life.
Is this why you have come to the United States, to help aspirants to the inner life?
Yes. Again, I must say, it is my psychic being or my soul that has brought me over here to be of some help to the aspirants and to be a synthesis between the East and the West, That is to say, my own inner feelings towards spiritual realization and how the West think of spiritual life. There should be a synthesis, I feel, and I hope I'll be able to create an atmosphere, of course with their help, where we can feel peace, light, and inner life.
How do you propose going about helping people here reach this or feel this?
At present, we would like to have a small center here in New York, just to start with. God has His own plans. He will develop this movement in His own way.
I've been talking with Chinmoy Ghosh, and this is Edwin Ross.
Now, I'm inspired to say something about you.
About me?
Yes.
All right.
God has given you everything. He has given you a beautiful body, a beautiful voice, a beautiful mind, a beautiful heart, a beautiful soul. He is all compassion to you. He is all blessings to you. How I wish you would be worthy of His all grace and blessings.
I certainly hope to be.
And you would prove that you are His.
Well, it's
His chosen son.
Well, it's very unusual to have someone else count my blessings for me, but it's certainly been pleasant listening to you recount them.